Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I want to thank everyone who has gone to johnnydollarair.com for making their travel plans. It's a great way to support the show. JohnnyDollarAir.com is a Priceline.com affiliate. So if you do your search there and you find a good deal that'll work for you, then you just go ahead and purchase it. And part of what you purchase on the site, whether it's through one of the great published specials you can get there or by naming your own price, part of your purchase goes to support the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. So when you travel, remember JohnnyDollarAir.com. Speaking of the man with the action-packed expense account, it's time for a new Johnny Dollar series. We begin with the Henderson Matter.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Tim Connors, John boy. Congratulate me.
Congratulations, Tim. What for?
I just had another boy. 7 pounds, 12 ounces. Hey, you like cigars?
Sure.
Well, come on down, pick one up. Oh, maybe you better pack a suitcase, too. I got one for you out in Culver, Montana.
Where is that?
I just told you. Out in Montana somewhere. We have a debt policy holder there named Henderson.
Henderson, huh?
Yeah. Now, we don't know if he was murdered, committed suicide, or had an accident.
Well, what does it look like?
All three.
Okay, Tim, be there in an hour.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Paramount Insurance Adjusters, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Henderson matter, whatever it's going to be. Expense account item one, $1.25 for a detailed map. I had an idea that Culver, Montana was a place that only Rand McNally might know about. They did. I found it tucked up in the high northern corner of the state near Great Falls.
Hey, where's your bag?
Home.
I told you to pack it. Now look,
Give me a cigar, Tim. Tell me about the new boy and the new case.
Okay, have a chair. Here you are. I wouldn't smoke it if I were you. Terrible. Cost me $2 a box. Hey, you know something? I'm thinking of naming the new boy Johnny.
Oh, tough case, huh?
Yeah. Hmm? Look, we're in the same sweet old spot, Johnny. Same old problem. One of our policy holders is dead, and for looking into the circumstances of his death... The insurance company is no longer a friend of the widow and orphan, but a big, bad monster trying to weasel out of a just claim.
All claims are just claims, or are they?
Well, of course they are. No one ever tried to pull a fast one on an insurance company. Well, the world's full of nice, honest, straight-playing people.
Uh-huh. Now tell me about getting sandbagged in a poker game.
Look, I want to get this out of the way and get back over to the hospital and see my wife. Now, John, this claim came into the insurance office yesterday afternoon, airmail special. The insurance company turned it over to me today.
What company?
Western. The policy's worth $25,000 face value, double indemnity if death was by accident. No payment for suicide.
Uh-huh. You say the man's name was Henderson?
Yeah, it says here, George Walter Henderson, Montana rancher. Last Thursday, he fell 4 stories out of a hotel window in Culver and died instantly. At least that's what we have in this report here. Somebody could have shoved him, or he could have taken the leap. Now, we have to know for certain.
Oh, what's on the claim report?
Accidental. There was no inquest, no police investigation, and that's not good enough for us.
Uh-huh. This Henderson prominent?
Well, he was big enough, Johnny. Cattleman, rancher. He was also a major stockholder and the only newspaper in Culver, so I doubt if his paper would suggest suicide or anything else. Do you?
I don't know, Tim. I never met the editor.
Well, meet him if you like. Talk to him. Talk to anybody in Culver. Find out what was what.
This is a lousy cigar.
Johnny, You know how to handle these things. We have to have more information than this.
Have you tried to do anything on it at all?
Yeah, I phoned the sheriff's office long distance to talk to a man named Holton, Eve Holton. He said he'd be happy to cooperate.
All right, what else?
I phoned the beneficiary to get some information. Name's Pauline Henderson, his widow.
Is she going to cooperate, too?
I don't think so, pal.
Huh?
She hung up on me.
We will continue with the Henderson matter in a moment.
Friends, how'd you like to thrill your favorite youngster with some of the most exciting toys of the year? Picture the breathless excitement of any child surrounded by six gaily colored balloon-like giant animals up to 3 feet long, and all for the low, low price of just $1. First, you get Bounzo the Clown with round pot belly and funny nose. Next comes Hoppy the Australian Kangaroo. Third, there's Roscoe the Roller Skating Bear. He's 2 feet tall and looks almost like real. Fourth, there's Whitey the Fat Indoor Snowman. And fifth, Mortimer the Giant Mouse, 18 inches long and sure to scare the whiskers off any cat. That's five different giant animals. But now hold your breath for the most sensational toy of all, the star of the whole Christmas season, the Jolly Giant Talking Santa Claus. Guaranteed to make everybody's Christmas a merrier one. He's a big roly-poly happy Santa. He stands erect on two legs, is actually over 3 feet tall and 32 inches around. Best of all, he actually talks. Just pull the tape and he says, Merry Christmas for all to hear. He's the biggest, merriest talking as Santa ever. Sure to please your youngsters and spread good cheer. Yes, Giant Santa proves there really is a Santa Claus. That's a total of six giant animals made of brightly colored preformed sturdy latex, which the kids can easily inflate. And the cost, just $1, not for each. Just $1 for all six of these lovable giants who'll turn your home into a circus parade. And here's a surprise. Mail your order today and you'll also receive absolutely free Peter the Rabbit, actually over 2 feet tall with big red ears almost 9 inches long. But you must send now. Rush $1 plus 10 cents for packing and mailing for each set you want to Giant Animals, Box 90, Grand Central Station, New York City. If not delighted with every one of your seven giant animals, return them to the Super Animals Company for a full refund, but keep the giant talking Santa as our gift. Order now. Supplies are limited. Rush $1.10 for packing and mailing for each set in cash, check, or money order to Giant Animals, Box 90, Grand Central Station, New York City. That's $1 plus 10 cents with your name and address. Mail to Giant Animals, Box 90, Box 90, Grand Central Station, New York City. Giant Animals, Box 90, Grand Central Station, New York City.
Expense account item 2, $185.65. Airfare, Hartford, Connecticut to Great Falls, Montana. The nearest point I could make to Culver by air. Item 3, $3. I took the train to Culver. Sometimes when I'm having nightmares, I dream about the smelter stack standing up against the cadaverous hills that lie to the south of town. Everything, including the 3 or 4 feet of snow covered with a uniform dinginess, made Culver an ugly little town set in an ugly notch between two ugly mountains. The only hotel in town was the Butte. It happened to be 4 stories high. It also happened to be the place where George Henderson had met his death. Okay, just a minute.
Mr. Dollar?
Yeah.
I'm Eve Holton, sheriff here.
Huh?
You're from the insurance people, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Been expecting that you'd be in sooner or later.
Well, I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Holton.
Call me Eve, son. Everybody does. Hey, got a drink on you?
No, I haven't.
Well, I got one on me. Nice and chilly, too.
Well, I'll see if there's some glasses around here, Sheriff. You didn't waste any time looking me up.
No, I guess I didn't, son. Thought it'd save a little time this way. Knew you'd be looking me up sooner or later. Really thought we ought to have this drink together. Private. May not have any more together while you're here.
Uh-huh.
Well, health and happiness, boy.
Same to you.
Now, this drink we're having. This is in your room, and I'm just a fellow welcoming you to Culver. In my office or on that street out there, I'm a sheriff. And I'm going to be real official.
All right, go on.
I want you to notice I'm not asking any questions of you, son. I'm just answering anything that you might want to ask me right now.
All right.
You're going to have to plow ahead yourself on this one, pretty much alone. And let me tell you what kind of plowing you got in store for you. Excuse me. Now, first off, this is a little burg like you ain't used to. We got 3,500, 4,000 people living here. Some of them working at mine you seen on your way into town. Others hire out to work on the ranches around here. Some in business.
Uh-huh.
Very tight little place. We hardly ever fool around with anybody else.
Sure.
Now, you're here because your insurance company don't like to pay off on a policy without knowing whys and wherefores. They don't like the word accident without knowing some of the details.
No, they don't.
There's a lot of people here, most people, who don't care about those details. As a matter of fact, son, they'd all just as soon put old George Henderson down on the ground and say it was an accident and let it go with that.
Well, maybe it was, Sheriff. I don't know. But I'm going to find out.
Yeah, well, now, let me go on. Those people who don't like the details don't like detail getters. You understand?
Yeah.
Scare you any?
Not yet.
You do all right, son. So, maybe you'd kind of like to get your coat on and come to your funeral with me. Starts at 3:00.
Henderson's?
Yeah. Give you a chance to look around, get the lay of the land.
Okay, good idea.
I wondered what kind of bull workers insurance companies turned out. I like you, Dollar. You're all right. You ain't bothering with any questions till you got some worthwhile asking. You tired?
A little.
Well, this won't take too long.
A half hour later, I was standing beside Sheriff Eve Holden on a flat-top hillside that served as the cemetery. The snow was white and gleaming under the winter sun of the mid-afternoon skies, the air cold and crisp.
To thee, our heavenly Father, who knoweth all things, we commit the body of our beloved to thy eternal care. Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
Trusting ever in thy mercy, we invoke the consolation of thy sheltering wing. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and sure and certain hope of resurrection into eternal life, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Here. Oh, that's that.
Yeah.
Poor George.
Eve.
Hmm?
Which one is Mrs. Henderson?
There.
That's Pauline Henderson?
Yeah, that's her.
Well, she can't be more than 25.
26, to be exact, Dollar. I went to her birthday party 2 months ago.
Well, how old was George Henderson?
59. Went to his party, too. Yeah. Pretty thing, hmm?
Very. Any other family?
Nope.
No other wife, huh?
Nope. Want to meet her?
No, not right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, suit yourself. Kind of thought you might start thinking when you got a look at her.
Hmm?
Now, just keep on the way you're doing. You're doing fine. When there's something you got to know, you'll find out.
Well, Leif, I already know one thing.
Yeah? What's that?
I'm going to ask for a coroner's inquest.
Just from seeing her?
Just from seeing her.
Mm-hmm. You're a sly one, Johnny.
Johnny Dollar.
Keith Holden. How are you this morning?
Oh, pretty good, Sheriff. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm fine, Dandy. You were over at the City Hall this morning, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I requested the coroner to conduct an inquest into the death of George Henderson.
Yeah, I know. The coroner left it up to me.
Huh?
Yeah, came into my office and asked me if I had any reason to conduct an inquest into the death of George Henderson. I told him I didn't have any reason, but I'd do it if I was ordered to.
Well, what happens now?
Well, somebody'll have to decide whether there's going to be an inquest or not.
Who?
Mayor, I guess. I don't know. Anyhow, you stirred up some action, and you'll be getting it.
Yeah, where?
Just stay where you are, son. My guess is it'll come right to you.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Paramount Insurance Adjusters, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Henderson matter. The death of George Henderson of Culver, Montana, where I am today. A casual certification announced the death as accidental, having been received by a fall from a hotel window. No one in Culver seemed to be too worried about any of the details. But details are my job. That's why I requested the coroner's office to conduct an inquest. I took Sheriff Holton's suggestion and waited to see what my request flushed up in the dingy-colored mountains of Culver. An hour later, my first bird winged up to my hotel room. He was a tall, gray-haired man in a Stetson, earmuffs, and the Western version of a Chesterfield. His Honor, Mayor Newton.
Mr. Dollar, I want to talk to you about this request you made for an inquest into George Henderson's death.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor.
You are aware, of course, that George's death, and he was one of my beloved and personal friends for many, many years, was a great blow to the entire community.
No, I didn't know that, Mayor Newton.
Huh?
Only the smallest part of the community were at his funeral yesterday afternoon. His widow and I'd say not more than half a dozen other people.
Well, I understand that your insurance company is not quite satisfied with the certification. Is that correct?
More or less.
What would they need to be satisfied, sir?
An exact knowledge of how Mr. Henderson fell out that hotel window.
I would rather no inquest were held into Mr. Henderson's death.
Why?
Why, sir, George Henderson is dead and buried. It should remain that way. If an inquest were to be held, it would only prove that George fell out of a window. I beg you to consider that, Mr. Dollar.
You seem very certain that an investigation would prove that death was accidental, Mayor.
It was accidental. George fell out the window.
Well, no, I can't just tell that to my insurance company, can I?
We are a small community with a rudimentary police force, not equipped in any way for an exhaustive investigation, nor for the financial burden of such an investigation. I strongly urge you to reconsider this request for a coroner's inquest.
You do?
I do indeed. His untimely death was an unfortunate occurrence, outside the pale of any of our poor abilities to foresee. A terrible, terrible accident.
I'd like proof of that.
Proof?
An inquest, Mr. Mayor.
An inquest. All right.
We will continue with the Henderson matter in a moment.
My interview with Mayor Newton had convinced me that I'd get no real help from him in the Henderson matter. Quite the contrary. Expense account item 3, 20 cents, coffee, myself and Sheriff Eve Holton.
Well, you got it.
Huh?
At the direction of Mr. Jackson. That's our coroner. He deputized me temporarily to conduct an inquest. It's going to take place tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, City Hall.
Tomorrow, Sheriff?
Room 207.
Well, Eve, you won't have time to do anything.
No, I guess I won't. Not much, anyhow.
Oh, brother. The mayor pitched me pretty hard for not having the inquest.
Knew he would.
Any idea why?
Nope.
You think somebody asked him to stop it?
Yeah.
Who?
Don't know, Johnny. Honest.
The next morning, I struggled my way against a belligerent north wind to City Hall and the inquest, if you could call it that. I sat in the back of the room and listened while a Dr. Horace Nam assured the six-man jury that George Henderson was quite dead when he was called out of his office and examined him on the street. Dr. Nam reckoned George had died from a broken neck. An ancient bellhop, a desk clerk, and a chambermaid gave their versions of what had happened the day Henderson fell out the window.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, so help you God.
I do, Sheriff.
I'm the acting coroner today, Miss Cubley. Sit down. Now, when did you see Mr. Henderson last?
Last Thursday morning.
Where was this, Miss Cubley?
At the Butte Hotel.
Mm-hmm. You know what time of the morning it was?
About 10 o'clock. I went in to make his bed and straighten up his room.
I see.
I made his bed while he worked on some papers there, and then I left.
Did you see him after that?
No, sir.
You didn't see him come downstairs for breakfast or anything?
No, sir.
Do you know if anybody went up to see him?
I believe I saw Mrs. Henderson in the lobby after that.
Do you see Mrs. Henderson in this room?
Yes, sir. I believe that's Mrs. Henderson over there.
No, that's Mrs. Henderson. Now, do you know if Mrs. Henderson visited Mr. Henderson in his room?
No, sir, I don't know that.
Miss Cubley, did you happen to notice if anyone else went up to Mr. Henderson's room that morning?
No, sir.
It went on all morning long. Sheriff Holton, acting in the coroner's position, questioned person after person. All had more or less the same vague knowledge concerning George Henderson's death. I was most interested in Pauline Henderson's testimony.
Now then, Mrs. Henderson, when did you last see your husband?
Thursday. I went to see him about noon, maybe a little before.
Where did you see him, Miss Henderson?
At the Butte Hotel, in his room there.
The same room he occupied prior to his death?
Of course.
The same room from which he fell?
Yes.
Were you alone when you went to see him, Mrs. Henderson?
Yes. I must have left before 12:30. I had an appointment at the dentist.
And that was the last time you saw your husband alive?
Yes. I was still in the dentist's chair when they told me he'd fallen out the window.
What did you and your husband talk about, Mrs. Henderson?
Must I answer that?
Well, we're trying to determine something here. I'd appreciate it.
George and I discussed our divorce.
Could you tell us about that?
George and I decided to part about a month ago. He moved out of the house and moved into the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Outside of the divorce, were you on good terms?
Oh, yes, we've always been on good terms.
Mrs. Henderson, do you think there's a chance that he might have thrown himself out that window? Mrs. Henderson, do you think he might have thrown himself out that window?
No, at least not over us, if that's what you mean.
As far as you knew, was your husband in good health?
Yes, he was.
You happen to know when he was examined last?
Oh, a month or so ago. He was in perfect health.
One more thing. Did Mr. Henderson drink?
Yes.
Did he drink that morning with you?
I think he had a couple of drinks. Yes, he had a drink or two while we were talking. He could have stumbled to that window.
The clothes were New York, the perfume Paris, the jewelry Tiffany's. The look, you might expect it on the Riviera, where everybody tries to act bored with too many good things in life. Her dress, blank for the occasion of death, was cut too well and too carefully for her to pass as a grieving widow. She answered the questions without hesitation or emotion. 15 minutes later, the jury brought in the expected verdict.
Therefore, it is the opinion of this jury that the said deceased, George Walter Henderson, came to his death as a result of injuries incurred in a fall from the fourth floor of the Butte Hotel at or about 12:45 p.m. on the 19th day of this month. No evidence to the contrary, it is deemed and declared that the manner of death was accidental. Adjourned.
And that was it. As far as Culver's people, its police and its mayor were concerned. Yeah, the mayor.
Well, Mr. Dollar, I hope you're satisfied.
It was a pretty good inquest, Mayor Newton.
I trust the official verdict of the jury will answer any questions your insurance company might have had on their minds and clear this whole matter up.
I'll forward it to them and tell them the circumstances under which the inquest was conducted, Mr. Mayor.
Satisfactory, I trust?
No. But it served a purpose. Now that everybody thinks it was an accident, everybody'll breathe easier.
Certainly.
Yeah. If everybody's relaxing like that, somebody's going to get careless. See you, Mr. Mayor.
Johnny Dollar will be back in a moment to tell you about tomorrow's episode.
Friends, send for your set of some of the most exciting toys of the year. 6 giant inflatable toys for only $1, some up to 3 feet tall. You get Bounce-O the Happy Clown, Hoppy the Australian Kangaroo, Roscoe the 2 feet long roller skating bear, Whitey the fat indoor snowman, Mortimer the giant mouse 18 inches long, and last but not least, the great giant talking Santa, a roly-poly giant over 3 feet tall and 32 inches around the belly that actually says Merry Christmas out loud when you pull the tape. That's 6 sensational giant toys for only $1, made of sturdy, gaily colored latex that the kids can easily inflate. Send $1 for each set to Giant Animals, Box 46, Grand Central Station, New York City. And if you order right now, you get Peter the Rabbit over 2 feet tall absolutely free. If not delighted with your giant animals, your money refunded immediately. Order today. You may never hear this offer again. Rush $1 plus 10 cents for packing and mailing in cash, check, or money order to Giant Animals, Box 46, Grand Central Station, New York City. That's $1 plus 10 cents for each set with your name and address. To Giant Animals, Box 46, Grand Central Station, New York City.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's episode of The Henderson Matter.
People do get careless tomorrow, all over Culver, Montana. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure and join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, I can kind of relate to this episode since my family lived in Montana for quite a few years, and I spent about 4 years living in a small town, actually smaller than Culver. It was this town of Eureka. Of course, it's an entirely different part of the state. Entirely different set of scenery. There are some places like Johnny Dollar described in part one, where due to the way a lot of the mining was conducted in the 19th century, as well as in one part of the state, eastern part, they had kind of their own mini depression / dust bowl situation that saw a lot of areas get depopulated. You do have some less pleasant landscapes. The physical landscape much different up near Eureka. That's in the northwest part of the state, about 60, 70 miles from Glacier. But I could imagine a lot of the social dynamics the same. If there, you know, it would definitely be a sensation, in that town, if there were a death of a prominent citizen and insurance investigator was insisting it wasn't an accident or really not buying what the local police have to say. So I could see some of this playing out, though perhaps not to the same extreme, just because of the sociological dynamics. All right, well, listener comments and feedback. We have quite a few from Johnny on Johnny Dollar. David says, Virginia Gregg was always fun to hear in these episodes. Thanks for playing them. Joyce says, we are hooked on Johnny Dollar. And a safety kitty post, we love your site and Johnny Dollar. Thanks so much. Appreciate your support. And I am also pleased, when I see the we, in there, which means that if anything, our, counts of downloads and how many people are listening to the program, are perhaps a bit understated, if so many are listening with friends and loved ones. So appreciate everybody out there that listens. And that will actually do it for today. Remember, you can follow the show on Twitter, Radio Detectives. Become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. And be sure and let a friend, if you know a friend who would enjoy the show, be sure and let them know about it. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.